Today I want to talk about arm points. Right, there are Dillman always talks about the 2-4-6 arm points. I actually have a few others as well as his usual 2-4-6. Arm points are the most important points that you're going to deal with, just simply because most people, 99.9% of people, are going to come at you with their arms and their hands. Right, anybody that comes, you know, at you face first deserves what they get. And there are very, very few people who are going to attack you who have any leg skills. And I'm actually toying with the idea of putting together a course which would be enhancement of Kyusho Jitsu. Because it would take the assumption that you know something, and then it would teach you how to handle any street situation. Because there is a way to do it. But it's too much for a pressure point course, no matter how advanced it is, because it goes off way over to the far right or to the far left, depending on how you want to look at it. It's not political. Anyways, basic arm points. We have heart 6 and lung 8, which, of course, are side by each, across from each other. Sorry, I'm sounding like I'm Canadian there. Right? Heart 6, of course, and I'm assuming that you are either going along with the book here or you're taking notes, because I can't show you in an audio. But heart 6 lies underneath the ulnar bone. Yes. Because the radial bone's on the thumb side. Okay, yeah. Forgive me, it's been a long week. I'm a little bit, the anatomy's not coming back to me as quickly as it should be. Right. Now, the interesting thing about this is a touch point. It does not need to be hit. Touch and rub are pretty close to the same thing, but you're going to stimulate it with a two-way action touch, right? It is a Y branching point, right? The nerve comes and it splits into a Y. And when you activate that, the brain believes that the nerves are coming closer together, that the Y could come together and short out, which of course it can't. That was just like a knife in there. Right? But the brain believes that, and that's why the wrist will release from that particular point. excuse me, depending on how tightly they're holding that, it can be painful when it releases as well. Now, if we go on the opposite side to lung 8, you will find it situated where the pulse is taken. And activation is two-way, but up the arm and then down the arm is the best way. Right, so you back up the energy flow, which is leaving the body, right? And then you accelerate it out, and the acceleration will cause the hand to come open. And then we go up a little ways, right? And we have the next lung point, which is going to be lung 6, which is right next to lung 5, and there's a whole little bunch of them in there. And they all have basically the same. Those are hit points, however. And as you strike them, they also will cause the hand to open. Now, when we jump across the other side to heart, we have MUE 28, which is a point I honestly don't bother with, because I have, in the style that I teach, I have no usage for hitting that thing with any other idea than breaking it, and I would breaking the bone there, and I would obviously prefer to hit the lung side. Right? Because as the arms come towards you, the thumbs tend to be up, not downward. So it's the lung meridian that's much more exposed than the heart meridian in that particular case. Forgive me, my dogs are playing. And I do this work at home, so kind of got to bear with me on that. Now, MUE 28, when it is struck straight across like an arrow to the opposite side of the bone, will also cause the wrist to release. So you have, lung 8, and then we have lung 6, and then we have lung 5, which is together with a couple of other extraordinary points. And since they're close to the lung meridian, they act as if they're a lung meridian. Same with MUE 28 on the heart side. It's an extraordinary point, but it will act and behave like a heart point, because that is what is the closest meridian that it is to. They don't belong to meridians, right? But they will behave as if they are part of the meridian that they are closest to. Now, similar to that, heart 5 is used for resuscitation, but it is used for resuscitation with a much lighter strike than it would take to cause the hand to open up. Husky howls, right? Now, one of the interesting things, if you're teaching some self-defense with regard to these lung points, if you have somebody that's holding a gun and you strike them at lung six, right? And quite often the police will strike at lung six, that area, with a baton. Striking lung six will cause the hand to open, but it will cause the index finger to go the opposite direction. So if they're holding a gun, it will discharge when you hit that point, right? If you want to avoid the discharge, you've got to move up the arm towards the lung five and the extraordinary points. Okay? Now, if we flip over, we've got triple warmer 11 and triple warmer 12 on the yang side of the arm. Triple warmer 11 being my favorite because it is so close to the elbow. Triple warmer 12, of course, is about halfway between the shoulder and the elbow, in between the tricep muscle there. When you activate triple warmer 11, which can either be a rub or a strike, its primary function is to release the arm. The elbow. Right? The arm. Okay. And then secondarily, the shoulder will release with it. A good activation of triple warmer 11 will dislocate the elbow. A good strike will be sending the guy to surgery to have it repaired because it'll just tear everything to pieces. Now, triple warmer 12, it primarily releases the shoulder. So if you're striking 12, you can get yourself a shoulder separation out of that, and then the arm, the elbow will release also, and secondarily, you'll probably get a dislocation on both of them from that. Right? And then if we come back onto the other side, large intestine 10. Large intestine 10 is one of those wonderful points that can either be pushed or it can be struck. And if you strike it, you strike it straight through to the ground with a two-way action that works towards the hand. It will cause the front knee to bend. It will also cause the hand to open slowly. Right? Will not flash open like it will with lung meridian strikes. It will open much, much slower. And it is very much a numbing pain that they will have down to the hand and sometimes even up to the shoulder if you strike properly. But one of the important elements to it is this bending of the knee and the head coming forward, which gives you other targets to work for. Right? And then one I don't talk about a whole lot, I do teach it, but I don't talk about it typically in the classes a whole lot, is heart 2. Heart 2 is on the inside of the arm between the bicep and the tricep muscle on the inside there. It's right in the fold where they all come together. That point is wonderful. If you step in and you drill heart 2 with a guy whose arm is out, right? The pain is excruciating. It will cause a pass out if hit hard enough, right? Because you have the radial artery. It's not called the radial artery at that point, but it is the radial artery coming down inside there. If you strike that hard enough, the nerve will be concerned about breakage of the arm and it will cause a pass out from it. I do not recommend doing that as a demonstration. Right? And especially do not do it as a demonstration on the left side of the body. Right? Do it on the right side of the body if you're going to do it. Don't strike the left side with that one unless you seriously mean business, because it can have quite an effect on the heart depending on which direction the energy goes. Anyways, that's going to be it for the arm points today. Just basically a very quick recap. I would suggest listening to this a couple of times, because I always did. I'm a big audio guy. I will load up stuff and do other work while I'm listening to it and try to relax out and, you know, let the subliminal part of my brain take, let the unconscious part of my brain take it as subliminal messaging to me, relax and listen to it, many times. I actually learned all of the memory work in novice year by doing that. I would actually go to sleep. I recorded everything and I put it on an iPod and I would go to sleep listening to it on loop play. And then after a couple hours when I woke up, I'd shut it off. And then it just started to come back to me like flashes. I could remember everything. So anyways, that's it till our next podcast. You guys have yourselves a great day and we will talk to you soon. Ciao.